It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Normally in April each year, locally we have the Humanitarian Service Awards, awards that were founded back in 1989 by the Garfield County Commissioners to recognize people specifically in Garfield County that do service above and beyond in the community. Of course, this year that could not happen in April because we're in the middle of a quarantine, and it's still moving forward, even though obviously the circumstances have changed a little bit, but large gatherings still really not practical at this point in time. So the Human Services Commission is moving forward with the 2020 Humanitarian Service Awards just in an online form. Blythe Chapman, of course, you know from River Ridge, who we've talked to a number of times over the years. She's also the co-chair of the Garfield County Human Services Commission Humanitarian Service Awards Committee. I think I came close to saying exactly what you said there. We're also going to talk with a couple other representatives of the Human Services Commission. Crystal Mariscal wears a number of hats today. She is a citizen that's on the Human Service Commission. And Ileana Renteria is with Raising a Reader, who, of course, has a seat in the commission as well. You know, Blythe, it's really interesting. We talk about this Human Services Commission, and it's a little vague until a few years ago. We happened to have a meeting in a spot right before the Human Services Commission meeting, and I was amazed how many people were involved in that meeting. It's a lot of folks, a lot of organizations that are represented.
Yeah, there are a lot of Garfield County nonprofit and other organizations that are a part of that commission. I'm sad because we haven't seen each other in so long. It feels like forever since we've actually held a meeting in person, but those meetings are still held right now via Zoom or GoToMeeting, whatever we're using at the time. And we still have a tremendous turnout. We've got a lot of caring individuals in our community making a difference.
That's awesome. And again, the Humanitarian Service Awards were really created to honor folks in the community that really go above and beyond. Obviously, when you're dealing with nonprofits, some people are paid, and even those paid staff, when you're talking about nonprofit organizations, they still are dedicated and have a passion for what they're doing on a daily basis, regardless the paycheck.
Yes. And I mean, every year we get nominations for both volunteers and staff, and some that are both volunteers and staff. And, you know, when we ask for nominations, we're looking for folks that really go above and beyond, that are just doing more than just their jobs. You know, they're going above and beyond every day and making a difference in our community beyond what their job description says. So the folks that we're going to talk about today that are staff members really exemplify that that service in our community.
So, Blythe, if I were to ask you to introduce me to, let's start with Crystal, what would be your elevator speech or your introductory speech to introduce someone to Crystal? I see her eyes get really big and wide when I say that.
Crystal, I think most people, when they talk about you, start by saying what a motivator you are in this community, especially for our Hispanic community. And you are seen everywhere. I mean, everyone's like, wait, where does she work? Because I thought she was over here, because she's always wearing a million different hats and she's got her fingers in everything. She's just a mover and a shaker, and she's constantly making a difference and involved with everything that's going on in our community. So she really goes above and beyond. And I'm really excited that she's on our list of nominees this year.
A motivator. I would think that that would be a good thing just about any time. But for those of us that have spent a lot of time working from home for the last 6 months, motivation, I would think, would be in short supply. Have you seen any changes in motivation, Crystal, with you over the last several months?
Yes and no. You know, it is hard because you start losing contact with people because you're going more virtual right now. But talking for the Latino community, the Spanish-speaking residents, I think we're getting stronger. You can see the community coming together and helping each other. So I think the community is getting more prepared, more ready, more close and helping each other. So that's something really special for everybody to see how they're coming together as a one community, because that's always my hope, to see my community as a one community.
I know you said that you wear a lot of hats, and Blythe obviously echoed that as well. Could you share the different organizations, the different things you do? Because that obviously is a reason why you were nominated for the award this year.
Yes, I can name the my hats, but I'm not speaking behalf of them. I'm a partnership specialist with the Census Bureau. I oversee different counties from Lake County all the way to Mesa Counties, Summit County, Eagle County, Garfield County, Pekin County, Rio Blanco, Moffat, Ralph County, different counties. And I'm also a town council in Newcastle and the first Latina to be in that town council. And I have a contract with Mesa County Public Health, working with the Latino community and the Clifton community. I don't know. I can keep going and going with different things that I do in the community.
And not only a number of different things, but you're pretty spread out. So how many miles do you put on your vehicle every year?
Good question. So that's the purity of the virtual technology right now. They're doing everything through Zoom calls or phone calls, and sometimes you don't have to be in person. So that's good.
Wow. So when did you find out that you were nominated for one of the Humanitarian Service Awards this year?
I can remember that. You know, I really can remember that day. I remember what happened that day, but I can't remember the date.
Well, that's perfect, because that's the next question. Describe that day and your feeling when you found out.
So, because I'm part of this committee, and I've been helping this committee for almost 5 years, and for me, it's always so excited. I think that's my part when I feel that I'm giving back something to the community, when I'm start helping with all these awards and just listening to all the stories. So for whatever reason, they stopped including me in all the emails, and I was like, huh, what's going on? Did I say something, or someone's getting mad, or that I don't know, did I do anything wrong? Why did they kick me out of the emails? And I start asking, and I start sending emails, and like, please add me to the email chain. So someone called me and said, you know, Crystal, you get nominated. This is why you're not part of the emails anymore. So I was like, wait, what? I was like, yes, you got nominated, and congratulations. So I start crying. I start crying, and I run to my daughter's room, and I start jumping in their bed and saying, you know, I just can't believe it. And so, yeah, that was my reaction.
That sounds like an appropriate reaction under the circumstances. Again, the Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards are being held online only this year. It is a public online event. We'll talk how you can watch those awards next Monday night at 5:30 online. And by the way, if you want to watch those Monday night, you do need to register in advance. To find that registration link, go to garfield-county.com, scroll down toward the bottom of the page where it says Humanitarian Awards, click More Info, and then you can register there. Again, you do have to register if you would like to watch the Humanitarian Service Awards next Monday night. Back in just a minute, you're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again this afternoon, we're talking about the 2020 Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards. Blythe Chapman is the co-chair of the Humanitarian Service Awards Committee. And again, next Monday night at 5:30 is when the awards will be held virtually. And Blythe, this is, even though it's virtual, it is, and it is a Zoom meeting, but it is actually a public Zoom meeting. So it's more like a webinar as opposed to a meeting that you might have in an office. Anybody can actually go online and watch the awards next Monday night at 5:30.
Yes, and we want to make that clear that registering and logging on to this event means that you're watching what's happening and you're not, you know, your video is not going to be enabled. So others are not going to see whether you're there or not. So we want to encourage the community as much as possible to attend because this is a great opportunity. We're holding this virtually this year, which means that more people can come and more people can be a part of this and see what great work our community members and our nominees have done over the past years. So it's really exciting in a way because we can open it up to more of our community and make it more known. And we're saving some money because we're not holding a dinner. So we've been able to spend a little bit more on advertising and just getting the word out there to our community that we do this. So it actually, you know, to look on the bright side of things, this could be a really good thing.
I like that. The glass is half full.
Yes.
And not only that, but you might also get some interaction from people that maybe would not have been able to attend in person in the past. You know, I know every year at the Humanitarian Service Awards, there's a limited number of seats that are available. And, you know, if you've got friends or family that live out of town or out of state, it may not be practical for them to travel. But, Crystal, do you know specifically of any family or friends that's going to be watching Monday night to hear all about you and the great work that you've been doing?
Well, yes. I'm hoping that my grandpa is going to be listening. He lives in California, so that's my hope.
Fantastic. Nice to hear that you have a good... I had a fantastic relationship with my grandparents, so I always like to hear of other people that had a similar... relationship. So, Ileana, talk a little bit about Raising a Reader. I know that that's where you work, and Raising a Reader obviously is one of those organizations that has a seat on the Human Services Commission. And so talk about what you do, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the commission and back to the awards.
Well, I've been working with Raising a Reader for 3 years now. I've been a program coordinator there, and usually what we do is we hand out red book bags in preschools to all the preschools in the valley from Aspen to Parachute with books in them for children to share and to borrow home and get a different book bag every week. But with the pandemic, everything closed on us. So we had to evolve a lot, and we went fully online for a while. So I started doing, I still am, doing live story time in English and in Spanish. We also have our Zoom meetings with our families. We used to have these Bolsitas Rojas, little red bags clubs at the libraries, but since they were closed, we are now doing those on Zoom. So we still read to the children. We still give books, hand out books in the hands of our families, and we still have that connection with them. And it's been a lot of work, but I think it's been, it's evolving. Everything is evolving now. And I would like to think that after this pandemic, we are not necessarily going back to what is normal, but a new improved situation once the situation allows it. So I think it's been a lot of work, but it's been very rewarding to keep in touch with all of our families and to know that they are reading to their children and they see the value and the importance, especially during these difficult times, to just have that special time with their children and just give that reassurance to them and just create that routine and just having that special time with mom or dad. I think it's really something that our families have really appreciated, and that is very, very rewarding. And I think that is one of the things why we all work with nonprofits, at least in the world of the nonprofits. I know that all of us are there because of the rewards that we get that are not material, but we get paid a lot in smiles and just the appreciation that we get from the families that we serve.
And you did say you are handing out books again now. Mm-hmm. You just can't actually go into the home because of those safety concerns and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. When the schools were doing the meal deliveries on buses, we brought gently used books to give away. So the bus drivers, they knew which families needed them the most, so they handed out those books. Then for our families, we hand them out two bilingual books. And now we're looking to a new model where we are planning to give out one book as a giveaway. That's for keepers. And we're going to work with that book throughout the month, so that families understand the importance of repetition, that really has an impact on their brain development, their children's brain development. And also because there's a correlation between the number of books that you have at home and school success in later in your life. So we want them to have those books. And since we cannot be sharing books as we used to, I think this is a very good model where we're gonna be doing more in-depth work with our families.
You mentioned that you've been reading books online, like through Zoom meetings and that kind of thing with the families that you've been working with. Has that been challenging for you? Do you miss that in-person connection with the kids and the families when you're reading in front of them?
It was challenging, but we didn't have enough time to think about it. It was like the pandemic arrived, so we had to shift the model. So the next week after we closed, I started doing live story time. And of course, it was there's an element that I miss, just interacting with the children. And we used to have these meetings with the moms, and they all knew each other, so they brought food and cake, and it was really fun just to have those meetings, weekly meetings with the families. But I kept in touch with all of them, so we still text each other. I see them on Zoom, but yeah, for sure I miss to see them in person. And yeah, it was challenging, especially the English story time. I get really nervous when doing reading those books in English. So it doesn't show, but I get nervous still today. And I also do in Spanish, and all the families still watch those videos. It's funny because they are there and they are like, hi, and they get really excited when I say, hi, Omarcito, thank you for joining. And they're like, oh, he's so happy. Or when their birthday comes and I say happy birthday, or we sing to them, or when the Dia del Niño, that's the day of the children, that's a celebration in Mexico. So we did like a special with La Tricolor and Early Childhood Network. So we partner and we did like puppet shows, and I read, and Zoira from the Early Childhood Network showed them how to make a cape. So they were superheroes. And then they shared the photos with us. And that was, oh my God, they were so happy. We had tons of views. Then I invited members from the community to read stories too. So we had police officers, a firewoman, a doctor who's fighting the pandemic. So I don't know, it's been very, we've had to be very creative, but it's been very, very rewarding.
You mentioned rewarding many times in the last few minutes, and I'm curious what your story is with reading. Obviously, you think it's really important for young people. Do you have a personal connection, maybe something that happened when you were a young child in elementary school that really kind of pointed you in this direction, even though you maybe not have realized it at the time?
Yeah, I've had a love story with books since I was a young child, my mom used to read to me every night, and I was always like, Mom, read again, read me that book again. And she was like, well, you need to start reading by yourself so you can read the stories as much as you want. So I learned to read very early, and since then I've always escaped the world reading. And then I had my two children and I always read to them. And whenever I talk about raising a reader, I tell them, no one is telling me how things, what the result is going to be, because I can see it in my children. They are both above grade readers. And wherever we go out, they bring their books. They're like, oh, no, we can't leave. I forgot my books. And they come back running to the house and they bring like 5 books each. So just this weekend, we went to Marvel and we were at this beautiful lake and we all brought our chairs and we were by the lake and the 4 of us were reading and a family came to us and they were like, are you reading? We're like, yeah, but it's something that we enjoy as a family. And Raising a Reader has been really helpful for me too, because I didn't know any English books and now my children are bilingual, I mean, children's books in English. So now I have a big repertoire of books in my home. And when we moved here, I was really sad that I left all of my books in Mexico. So that was one of the first things that we got, like a bookshelf, a big bookshelf, and we started getting a ton of books. So it's something that I carry with me, the message of Raising a Reader. And that's why I applied for this job, actually. My husband was like, well, now that you have your permission to come to live here, now you can start looking at jobs. And he sent me, because Crystal shared the job description with him. She used to work with him. And he sent me that. And I was like, that's the job I want. That's perfect for me. So I started having these meetings with Rick, who is actually in the committee too. And yeah, I got the job, but it was something that was really intentional and something that it was really close to my heart.
What a great story. And you know, the irony is not lost on me that Monday was Labor Day, you know, a day that we honor working people and you know, the working class in the United States. We shared on our Facebook page, I'm sure you've heard the quote, if you find something you love to do, you will never work another day in your life. And it sounds like that absolutely applies to you and your work with Raising a Reader.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. When you love what you do, it's like they are paying you to do what you love, and that's amazing.
It's a win-win. Yeah. And yeah. Blythe, I'm sure you hear stories and conversations like that in the Human Service Commission meetings all the time from folks just like Ileana and Crystal that are doing what they love, and in some circumstances, like you say, some are volunteers, some get paid, but either way, they get to help other folks and maybe show them some love that they were shown when they were younger or at a different time, a different place in their life.
Sure. I think, you know, across the board, every nominee that I have talked to over the years says, me? But I'm just doing what I love to do. And right. There's people way more deserving than me. So, and that's really what makes a great humanitarian, is someone who's doing it because they love it and don't see it as work, don't see it as labor, and are very humble about it and are just want to be a part of their community. It's really amazing.
Again, the 2020 Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards happen this year, Monday night, the 14th at 5:30 p.m. You know, we talked all about the fact that it's online, but we never told people where they could find out about it. So I apologize for that, Blythe. So go ahead and tell us now. I was just teasing it. I was doing it intentionally. You know, I was teasing it all this time.
Right. Well, you know, it is a link, so it's a little bit confusing, and I don't think I should just read the link out to you all, because no one will ever remember it. So I think the best way to get the link is to go to the Garfield County website, which is garfield-county.com, and you can scroll all the way down, and you'll see a little button you can click to read more about the Humanitarian Awards, and from there, there's a link that you can click on. You do have to register ahead of time. So, you know, if you're interested in participating, I recommend going ahead and clicking on that as soon as you can, when you're thinking of it, registering, and then you'll get a notification. You'll get a reminder email and you'll get a notification that you're all set to go. And again, when you click on that and register, you're just registering to participate and watch. The nominees, the commissioners, as well as Gabe, will be live. And so you'll see those folks, but everyone else will not have their video enabled.
No one is going to be checking your name off a list saying, okay, they said they would watch, they're here, or anything like that.
No, but we do hope that if you told your nominee that you would watch, that you will.
There you go. Yeah, again, so just scroll down. It's about three quarters of the way down the Garfield County webpage, garfield-county.com. Click where it says more info on humanitarian awards, September 14th. And then, as Blythe said, you do need to register in advance if you want to watch, again, this coming Monday night, the 14th at 5:30. Back to wrap things up with Crystal, Ileana, and Blythe in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again this afternoon, we're talking about the 2020 Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards, which, again, you can watch Monday night, the 14th, at 5:30. Again, you do need to register for this online-only event. Just go to garfield-county.com, scroll about three-quarters of the way down the page, and click on Humanitarian Awards and more info. Again, you are registering to be an attendee. You will not be on camera. We will not be able to see or hear you or anything like that. It's if you've ever taken an online training, it's just like that. It's you can see what's happening, but you're not going to be, you know, the camera's not going to pan out into the audience, you know, particularly those of us that have changed our daily attire because of the COVID. We'll just leave it at that. Blythe, there are 11 nominees this year for the Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards. I know we talked a lot with Crystal, of course, who is one of those well-deserving nominees. Would you mind sharing the other 10 nominees with us?
I would love to. Addie Vasquez, she is the director of a child care center called Faith Lutheran in Carbondale. Marlene Manown, who was actually nominated by one of my staff. She's a volunteer at Riverbridge Regional Center. Sarah Fetishin, who was with Roaring Fork School District. She has changed jobs since COVID hit, but she's being honored for the work she's done for the school district. Mary Lee Morlang, she's what has been called the voice of Parachute and Battlement Mesa community. And of course, our Crystal Mariscal, who we are talking to today. Brisa Chavez, who works for Garfield County. Ron Milhorn, which I think, Gabe, you know him very well.
The name sounds familiar.
Jennifer Weary, who is the executive director of Alpine Legal Services. Martha Robinson, who is a tireless volunteer for Youth Zone. Antonia Pena, who is described as a brave advocate with a humble heart. And Billy Williams, who I guess I haven't heard of him before, but he has worked with Youth Zone and has a lot of passion for helping kids and a great big heart. So we have a very diverse and amazing list of 11 nominees this year.
And if you thought you heard a name you recognized, I'll mention those names again toward the end of the conversation today. Again, if you want to check the Humanitarian Awards out, you have to register to be an attendee. Again, they happen Monday night, the 14th at 5:30 p.m., garfield-county.com. humanitarianawards.com, scroll down to Humanitarian Awards, click more info, and then register. It's free to register and watch. You just have to register in advance because of the particular platform that they're using for this year. One of the neatest, most humbling, most moving parts of the Humanitarian Service Awards are the fact that each nominee receives copies of letters that were written in support of their nomination. So the way the process works is, you know, you make a nomination, but in that process, you get a number of nominating letters or supporting letters, if you will, from members of the community. And Blythe, I forget the exact number that's required. I'm not sure if there is a specific number, but
There is. Yeah, you have to submit at least three and no more than six supporting letters. Okay. So, I mean, that's the whole point. You have to kind of prove your nomination, right? So you have to have the supporting documentation to show how this person has made an impact in the community. And you do that by submitting letters.
Right. And so you as a nominee will receive those 3 to 6 letters that were written by members of the community and all the good things that they said about you. It's a little bit of a sneak preview today for Crystal. Did not realize before the conversation today that, Ileana, you said was it your husband or was it the two of you that got together and decided to nominate Crystal?
Yeah, it was my husband's idea, but yeah, we both got the letters and everything because we know how much she works for the community and we wanted her to be recognized.
So we don't want to give too much away, but do you know how many letters were written in support of Crystal's nomination off the top of your head?
I believe it was 4.
Okay.
So, I'm crying already.
She hasn't even read them yet. And yeah, it's like I said, that's one of the most humbling things about the nomination is reading those letters and the things that folks say about you, you know, because I'm sure somebody smarter than me once said, you know, the things that people say behind your back sometimes are what they truly mean. And so these letters are kind of that. It's, you know, them talking about you to a third person and how great you are. So, yeah, look forward to hearing more about all of Crystal's work in the community next Monday night, the 14th at 5:30. And again, you have to register. I'll give you that information again. Here once again, by the way, is the name of the names of those 11 nominees. Of course, Crystal Mariscal, who we talked to today, Eddie Vasquez, Marlene Manown, Sarah Fetishin, Mary Lee Morlang, Brisa Chavez, Ron Milhorn. That name is so familiar. I'm not sure where that, Martha Robinson, Antonia Pena, and of course, Billy Williams, who.
I think you missed Jennifer Weary. Did you say Jennifer Weary?
I did not say Jennifer Weary. I missed her. I'm so sorry. I knew that if I tried to write them all down as you were saying it, I would probably miss one. So, yeah, Jennifer Weary also. So if you recognize any of those names, you might want to check out Monday evening's webcast. Again, just go to garfield-county.com, scroll down to where it says Humanitarian Awards, and register there. Again, you do need to register in advance, though the event is absolutely free. Blythe, you also have a number of sponsors that have helped put together the Humanitarian Service Awards again this year. Again, they are sponsored by the Garfield County Commissioners. They started these awards back in 1989 to recognize outstanding staff members, and they've just kind of expanded from there. But I'm sure there are other sponsors also.
Yes, Garfield County is obviously the main sponsor for the event and has been hugely supportive and continues to be supportive of the event. This year, we also have sponsors Alpine Bank as well as the Post Independent. And so, you know, this year, because this is a free event, we don't have a dinner to spend money on. We were able to spend money on some other things, which was kind of fun. So we were able to send all of the nominees flowers. So those are on their way. We also were able to spend a little bit more in advertising to kind of get the word out there about the nominees and the event. So we also will be able to carry the money over for next year. So hopefully be able to do an in-person event. And we do hope that we're able to invite this year's nominees to an in-person event in the future so they don't miss out on that piece of it.
Crystal didn't realize she got flowers too. I don't know if you saw her reaction, Blythe, when you said that.
Maybe that was supposed to be a surprise, so I might get in trouble.
Uh-oh.
But I think it's important for the community to know that we did find some other ways to spend the sponsorship money.
I'm in Montana right now, and I can't wait to get home just to read the letters and to see the flowers. I'm so excited. I just want to go home now.
big sky country. How is the weather in Montana? Are the skies clear, or have you had smoke like we have as well?
Well, we had snow last night, and today it is pretty. The sky is, I don't know. I don't want to leave, but now that I heard about the flowers and the letters, I want to go.
time to come home, right?
Yes.
Again, if you would like to watch the 2020 Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards, it's Monday night, 14th, starting at 5:30 online. Get the link by registering at garfield-county.com. Just scroll down to where it says Humanitarian Awards. And you can register there. You have an idea how long the awards will take, Blythe? I know you said you didn't want it to be, you know, like a 3-hour TV award show kind of thing where, you know, we have to have the band play the nominees off the stage. But do you have an idea what the target is?
Yeah, we're thinking maybe 30 minutes. Okay. Probably not much longer than that. We realized that in order to keep everyone's attention, we can't make it too long online. And we also realized that there's a lot of Zoom fatigue going on right now in the world. I think a lot of people are kind of done with it. So we're going to make sure we honor our nominees and let you go on with your evening.
Again, that's Monday evening that we're talking about, again, starting around 5:30. Ladies, thank you so much. Crystal, thank you for everything you do. Ileana, of course, thank you for, as I wish I could remember, you were so articulate about what you said, adapting so that you can still engage kids and families and let them know that reading is so important. Anything else that the two of you ladies would like to mention as we close the conversation?
Well, I just want to say, this is Crystal. I just want to say, Gabe, that I'm waiting for the performance probably that you're going to do Monday because it's a word. So I'm hoping for something excited. And also just want to say thank you to everybody. And I want to close with 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. So that's something that I always keep in mind every time that I'm doing something in the community. And I'm so honored and blessed to be nominated. I feel like I don't deserve it, but thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for those words. Ileana, anything additional from you?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the nonprofit organizations that get together in trying to recognize the work of members of our community. I see so much love and unity at those meetings. I've been in those meetings. And I just see all those brilliant, smart, hardworking people doing the right thing for the community. And it always makes me feel so inspired. So I think these awards mean a lot for the nominees and for the members of the community, just to see how excited they get when they are nominated. And I've seen the results afterwards when they win the award and they're like, wow, I can't believe it. And they talk about it all the time and it opens up new doors for them. Other people start to see, notice their work in the community. And I think that's really valuable. So I'm really happy that you guys do this every year.
Boss, final word?
Just thank you again, Gabe, for making this available to the community. And, you know, I think we should also recognize that Gabe is a past nominee and winner. So thank you, Gabe, for making this a priority. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. I kind of feel obligated to give back now that, you know, I can use my virtual background Monday night. Can't I, by the way?
Is your virtual background like the radio interview room? Is that what it is?
Or that's one of them. Yeah. I might throw a few in.
Okay. Something exciting, like Crystal said. Of course, as long as we can see your face, Gabe, you can have whatever background you want.
All right. It's a deal. Again, if you would like to attend this year's Humanitarian Service Awards, it's online only Monday night at 5:30. And you do have to register in advance. It's absolutely free, but you do have to register in advance. Again, those nominees, Jennifer Weary, who I forgot to mention the first time, so I mentioned her first this time, Crystal Mariscal, Addie Vasquez, Marlene Manown, Sarah Fetishin, Mary Lee Morlang, Brisa Chavez, Ron Milhorn, of course, from KMTS, Martha Robinson, Antonia Pena, and Billy Williams. So if you recognize any of those folks, watch Monday night and listen to them be recognized for doing good work in the community, much like Blythe, Ileana, and Crystal. Ladies, have a wonderful rest of the day, and we will see you virtually Monday night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gracias.
You too. Gracias. Bye.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen. Awesome. Thank you so much for...
Sorry, Gabe, for the background noise I had.